Okay. How you being? Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us all through this night tonight. We praise you, Father, for all of the prayers that are answered and all the testimonies and praise reports, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, I got this prayer request for myself. I'm really enjoying that book, Delivered from Dark Powers. I like to pray about that too, but that's not the request. I sometimes go through these scenarios like, it's like a what if spirit, you know, like what if this happens, and what, and I get hung up on this constant things that may happen, and or it'll be that something that's already happened, and you know, you're reminded of it, and you really don't like that this has happened either in your country or something, and then it goes into this long scenario of events where I might get angry at the very end of it all, and I know it's wrong when it happens, you know, but sometimes you get into a kind of like a battle with this. If you presume that what if this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and usually it's all these bad things, you know, that it's being put into my mind, and then at the end, you know, it reminds me of something else that may have happened, you know, like some of the crazy laws that they pass in the country you live in. And then I would get angry. And immediately that's double, you know, sin, you know, because you get angry at something, whereas you're not supposed to get angry. And so I guess it's kind of like a presumption spirit that impacts into me, and it sort of tries to build me up. You know, I'm getting better at recognizing it, and I just don't like when it comes over me, because it sometimes can last a while, and I realize it, and I put it down and I pray against it. So I just need, you know, to give you an example, I would think about, you know, maybe the abortion law, and I would go into anger after, you know, because of it, and it's kind of like a righteous indignation, which is not really right for a person to do. And but when it starts, it might not even start with that. It'll just start with some just little thing, you know, and it catches you off guard, so you don't even realize you did it till it ends up in anger. And then I go, oh well, I did that again, you know. And then you repent, and it comes back, you know. So I'm just asking that this what if spirit, I call it the what if spirit, a presumption of bad things that'll happen and progress, you know, and then I get angry at it, and you know, it's just a test, you know. It came to me when I was reading this book, you know, the devil's like a dog. If a dog comes into your house and poops on the ground, that's what dogs do. You can't get mad at the dog. The devil does his stuff, and there's no sense in getting mad at him, because that's not going to help at all. It's not where your focus is supposed to be. Your focus is supposed to be behind that, on God, this is your test. And because you're getting angry, you just failed your test. And I don't want to fail this anymore. You know, I like that comparison. It's in the book. You compared the devil to a dog. He comes in, you know, poops on the floor. I used to have a dog. You yell at the dog, it doesn't help. So, you know, you can't get angry with the test God's giving you. That's the main thing I'm trying to get here. You know, and it's usually not an argument where I take it out on another person. It's an argument where I realized I got angry with this spirit, that presumption of what if, you know, and it's just so, it makes you feel really bad when you fail. And I don't want to have that anymore. You know, it's opened my eyes to some other things that I used to have, and it showed me some good verses for fear and for anxiety, and I'm really happy about that. I am so happy that was shown to me, the fear and the anger, and how I have a spirit of, God didn't give you a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and of discipline. And it's so exciting to know that this abusive spirit, you know, I compare it to, you know, nobody wants to be abused by the spirits that are ugly and wicked, you know, compared to those kids that have been abused in those tunnels or whatever, or caves, you know, they can't help themselves against it. But we can, at least when it's a spirit that is disrupting my life, I recognize it after you fail and you cast it out and it goes away and comes back. And I don't like when it comes back. So I just want prayer for that. I don't want to be unsuccessful to overcome it. I want to get it before it goes too far. You know, I it's not that I don't want the test. I want the test, but I want to pass the test. That's what I want. You know, if the Lord is going to test me with something like this, I don't want to get angry in the end. And I don't want it to go on too long. I'm just going to recognize it right away. And I'm going to say, that's it. That's what I'd like, the overcoming of this. And I'm not going to go into that scenario anymore with you, because I don't want to have a conversation with you, because I know where it's going to end up. And it's tricked me quite a few times. And what this book that I'm reading showed me. And I'm just happy that the Lord showed me that. I already prayed about it, but I think I need some backup prayers here for it. I'm confessing this, and I need people to pray for me on this item.
Amen. Go ahead, Jenny.
I'd like to pray for you, Andrew. Lord had me in Psalm 37. This morning, if you're familiar with that, some verses I'd like to read. The first verse is a Psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself, it tendeth only to evil doing. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. Mm-hmm. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be, rather, the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Father, I thank you for Andrew. I thank you, Lord, that he recognizes these things that were assailing his mind. And Father, we are all prone to let our thoughts get out of hand, and we start thinking about things we've read or we've heard and things that are happening in the world right now, and then we don't agree with it because there are evil. But Lord, you're sovereign over all of those vessels of unrighteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for your promises that we don't have to get upset with them, Lord, because they're just doing what they do. That's what they are right now, Lord, unless you change them. I pray, Father, that you would give Andrew a diligence of meditation on your word more so. And when he would give him the grace, Father, and the ability to take captive every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ and what the word says about things, and that he would cast those evil thoughts down before they start gaining speed there, Father, and taking over. And we are all prone for that to happen, Lord. And it's a practice that we all need your grace in to overcome those thoughts and to recognize them and cast them down and pray for these people and shower blessings upon them and help us not to get caught up in the things that are going on in the world right now that are so unrighteous and so unjust. And we trust you, Lord, to bring your word to pass for us and for all of your elect, and for judgment belongs to you, God. And we trust you that you will bring righteousness and justice, and you will also bring your judgments upon those who do wickedly. So we thank you, Lord, for help for all of us, Lord, your grace, your protection. Help us to get our armor on and to wear it and to use it. And rest in you. You're in control. You're sovereign over all the nations, Lord, and nothing escapes you. Help us to be patient. And we thank you, Lord, for your promises. We're gonna inherit the land, and every promise that we set our foot upon, you promised to give it to us. So we thank you, Lord, for overcoming power and strength and wisdom and discernment and knowledge of you, Lord. And bless Andrew, Lord. Bless him with more of you, and help him to keep his eyes stayed on you, Lord, and continue to focus on you and grow up in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just hook our faith up with Julie and Andrew, and we believe everything she prayed and he prayed, and we thank you, Father, for answering this prayer for Andrew in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Let me think here. Who was next? I think it was Mariana or Isaac, whoever, which one of them? Mariana.
Yeah, hi, everybody.
Hey.
Isaac and I were outside the other day, and we were talking to our neighbor, and she had mentioned that she was going to sell her house in like the next 6 months. And me and Isaac immediately, you know, within our own selves thought, that's, you know, for my parents' house, we would like my parents to live next door, yeah. You know? So later on that night, I asked the Lord, you know, if that was an okay thing for me to be praying for and believing for. And then I asked for a word by random, and the Lord opened up book to Acts 19:39, and my finger landed right on shall be settled in. So I feel like that's shall be settled in. My parents shall be settled into that house over there. So I wanted to ask if everyone could pray and believe with us. Because, I mean, I know that scripture isn't specific for what we're asking for, but that's what the Lord specifically had my hand on. So we can also believe and pray that it will come to pass and soften my father's heart, who may not exactly want to move next door. But my mom would love it. We would love it. The kids would love it, you know. So, and the Lord said I could believe for it. So if everyone could just agree with us also, that would be great.
Amen. You're talking about your mom buying the house next door to y'all?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Lord, we just believe with them that that house is her mom's. It don't make any difference what the world says. We know what you want. If you've given her a word for that, Lord, we thank you that the door is open and they're going to go walk right through it, Lord, and we praise you for it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we claim that house for Mariana's mother and Isaac's mother-in-law and the kid's grandma. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Anybody else?
We should write that in.
It's done. It's done. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Dominique, go ahead, brother.
Okay, so I was just going to say something for Andrew, because what came to me was just like, if there's what ifs in your head, you know, this is a little unrelated, but whenever I'm in a situation like, you know, sometimes I still get freaked out when I'm trying to sleep and I think there's something in the room with me. And I'm like, well, if there's something in the room with me, then I just like I'm picturing something looking at me and it kind of creeps me out. So then I just picture God looking at whatever this thing is. And, you know, that helps me out a lot. It sounds silly, but it's just like, you think I'm scared of you and, you know, you should be scared of God. So whenever that what if situation comes in, just think, well, if that does happen, it would be God's will. He would be doing something that he wants to be done. And that includes any law that's passed. You know, it has to be accepted by God. Satan can do nothing unless God gives him permission. So whenever you get those what if situations in your head, just say, I don't really care what happens because I know that you're in charge, Lord. So if it happens, it's all by you. And I trust you to do what is right because you are the only righteous there is. And that should give you a little peace about it. And, you know, you can't be angry if you're praising God for a situation. And all that's going to do is make Satan angry, and he's going to walk away all upset because you're praising God for any situation that happens, you know. I'm sure, you know, that might have come up in Paul's head when he was arrested. Like, oh, what if I get arrested and I can't get out, you know what I mean? But instead, he decided to praise the Lord. So, you know, I think that can help you. That's what I was thinking of. That's all I had to say, though.
Amen. That's good, Dominique. Thank you. Yep. All right, go ahead. Do you have something else, Dominique? Okay. Go ahead, Nick.
No, I'm all set, sir.
All right.
Yeah, I got a call yesterday from work saying that they're shutting down the bakery for 2 weeks, and somebody was exposed to COVID. So I got to be quarantined for 14 days. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, Lord, while he's quarantined for these 14 days, get him in the Word. Let him just be eating on you, Lord. We thank you for it, Father, that he's going to come out of this smelling like a rose. I'm telling you, he's got God's vaccine. He doesn't have to worry about COVID. It don't make any difference who's got it. Nick don't have it because he's covered by the blood of Jesus in Psalms 91 also. And we praise you, Father, that Nick is going to get next to you here in the next 2 weeks in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And Lord, let him dance around a little bit in your praise, Lord. And that'd be so awesome. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
All right.
You believe it.
Yeah. I believe it too. You open up that word and God will throw that revelations to you like a neon sign, son. He will. Watch what I tell you. All right, Lana.
Hey, I wanted to share a testimony on behalf of my sister-in-law, Maria. We prayed for her on Saturday night. She went into labor 4 weeks early. And she has a glorious praise report for how well things went. And so I wanted to share. So Saturday night, she went into I don't know, like a serious labor, right shortly before we prayed as a group on the outreach. She had been in labor since 6 a.m. And she finally gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, Veronica, 5 pounds, 8 ounces, at midnight. So she gave birth just a few minutes after midnight on Sunday. And I got a chance to go visit her and bring her some essentials. And it turns out that since I was the first one to visit her, I was the only one allowed to visit her due to all the COVID restrictions. And she told me that she was just so full of praise that during the day when she was in the hospital, things were fine. She's a nurse. She's a registered nurse. She comes from a medical background. She's very familiar with the hospital practices and whatnot. But she said that in the evening, during the night shift, when she got a new nurse, she said it was just by the grace of God that this woman walked into the room and just started exclaiming, saying, you know what? So many years ago, I was in this exact same room laboring with my first child. I was sitting in that chair with my husband rubbing my back. You are bringing back so many memories. And Maria just felt an instant connection to her. And turns out, I think this nurse was a Christian as well. And Maria was just so uplifted and encouraged after being in labor all that day with no progress. And that same nurse noticed that Maria had a very bad IV set up. And she offered to get a nurse to redo it. And she said, I have the most wonderful nurse on staff right now who can take care of that for you. And instantly Maria asked her, is it a woman by this particular name? And this nurse looked at her and said, how do you know her? And Maria said, I used to work with her in a different hospital and she quit a year before me. She was my mentor and she is a Christian. And I had spent a lot of time with her connecting and just growing professionally and spiritually. And she finally quit that hospital and Maria quit that hospital a year later. It was so bad out there. And it turns out it was this nurse who showed up on the night shift. She wasn't supposed to be there. She just knew that there was going to be extra patients in the hospital laboring and offered to come in. And so the nurse went to get this other nurse named Judy. And she says, there's somebody wanting to see you. And Judy says, am I going to cry? And it was a wonderful and beautiful reunion for Maria and her old mentor. And she said things couldn't have gone better. The Lord blessed them so much. They had this tiny, absolutely beautiful baby, Veronica. And the doctor said the baby is perfectly healthy, except that she's so tiny because she was born 4 weeks early. They've just been full of praise, full of joy. And then last night, Maria texted me and said, hey, they want to keep us here an extra day. And I am so ready to go home, but the baby has jaundice. And so they're not making any more guarantees that we're going home the next day, meaning today. And so I sent out messages to our sisters here on the outreach, letting them know what's going on. And we just started praying and casting down. We went to war. I took screenshots of these messages and prayers, and I sent them to her saying, hey, you've got sisters warring on your behalf. I want you to be encouraged and lifted up. And Maria, she just read those messages and said, I am proclaiming that I am going to be out of here tomorrow. She took it by faith. And would you know it, the next morning, she sends me a message with a bazillion exclamation points saying, we are going home today, praise the Lord. And they are home now, finally home from the hospital. Everything has gone well. The baby is healthy. And just the Lord's been working a lot in Maria from my perspective, because she usually doesn't share a lot. But I guess the Lord's been touching her so deeply. She's been reaching out for help. She's been reaching out for prayers and she's been sharing a lot. So I am just overjoyed for how the Lord took care of this family. Sister Claire had a beautiful vision during her prayer for Maria about angels guarding their hospital room. And just thank you, Father, for working in Maria and Vasily's hearts. Thank you for protecting their families. Thank you that you are opening up Maria to your miraculous power. to your control, Father God, that she can trust you and her precious new daughter and her husband into your hands, Father God, that she can reach out more, that she can believe more. And it is by the grace that you are pouring into her, Father God. I thank you that you are bringing them into the kingdom, that you are opening up your true truth, Father God, to them, and that you are joining their hearts and souls, Father God, with the rest of us as brothers and sisters in Christ, Father God. My heart overflows with joy and gratefulness for the mighty work that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful praise report. We praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah, for that new creation that you've given us. In Jesus' name. What was her name?
Baby Veronica.
Veronica. All right. What does that mean? What does that name mean? Somebody look it up. All right. Thank you, Father, for this new creation. She's going to grow up and be healthy, but she's going to be a child of yours, Lord. Amen. She's been a miracle baby. All right. Okay. Go ahead, Geneva.
Can you guys hear me? I'm trying to make sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. So my it's simple, and I know it's simple, and all I got to do is say, "Come back in Jesus' name," it will. But my cat got out. My mom let my cat out, and this is like the sixth time it's happened. And so I always just say a prayer, and I'm like, I always tell the cat to come back in Jesus' name, and then he does. He's been gone now for 2 days. And it's my husband's cat. And so anyways, it's just, I don't know. I always kind of feel like it's a, because I know I have, you know, I mean, it's mine. It belongs to me. So I know that, you know, I have authority over this little cat. So I just want him to come back. And I don't even want to have to go outside and look for him or anything. I just want him to come back in Jesus' name. And I also, too, just wanted to say, it's so encouraging to hear you guys. And it's like, the second I get on here, I just feel very comforted and things just, I don't know. It's like all throughout the day, I have all these thoughts and I'm battling all these thoughts and like negativity that tries to come on me and, you know, things of the past. And I, you know, I've been kind of having a lot of things I feel like try to come at me because, you know, I feel like I've been getting closer to the Lord and reading his word and, you know, which I mean, thank God I've always, you know, had him obviously, but I just feel that I don't know, there's just something about being on here that's just so uplifting, and I truly am thankful for you guys, and I'm thankful for this ministry. And you know, I know sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, I'm so tired, like long day at work, this and that, but it's like it never fails to get on here and how God can, you know, uplift my spirit again. And also too, just want to pray that God gives me, I want to be more diligent in reading his word and making time for it. And I know when I listen on the ministry and stuff, or, you know, to some of David's old podcast about him getting up at like 4 a.m. to read his Bible, you know, like I'll get up at 5 to go work out, but then I'll feel convicted too. Cause I'm like, well, Lord, like I need to make more time for you because that's really the only thing that matters, you know, like, and I was listening to one of his podcasts. He was talking about like work and careers and stuff of that sort. And he was like, you know, none of that matters. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, way, I guess, for them to make ends meet. But even then, the Lord's still going to make that happen. So, you know, we're here for one purpose. And I guess sometimes I get so caught up in my thoughts about like, you know, gosh, I have to do this for work today. And like, I'm like, man, I can't wait for the time that I get to be a stay-at-home mom, you know, whenever the Lord is ready for us to have me and Morgan start having babies. But, you know, I don't know, I guess I just, but even then it's just like, I need to be more positive. I need to thank him in the moment. Cause you know, like the word says, don't be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself, you know, and just to, you know, be thankful in all things. And I have so much to be thankful for. I really do. And I just really want to start reading my word more and, you know, cast these thoughts down cause they've been trying to condemn me a lot. And you know, I know that God is taking care of me, and I know that he's forgiven me for everything in the past, and you know, and Morgan too. And anyways, and this little cat needs to come back, and he's going to, in Jesus' name. So Lord, thank you, God, for all things. Lord, thank you, Father, that Kiki is going to come back in Jesus' name, and that when he does, we're going to give you the praise. And thank you, God, that that's a little faith builder. And Father, thank you, Lord, that these thoughts are under submission to the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. And that, Father, you have given me grace to walk in your word, Lord. And God, that you've drawn me near. And that, Father, thank you for this conviction that you've laid on my heart, Lord, to know that I need your word, to know that I don't feel right without it, to know that my days are never as good as they are when I have it. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you help me, Jesus, to continue to be positive. And when I get negative, just to think upon you. And Lord, I rebuke that spirit of negativity in Jesus' name. And Lord, any of these spirits around me, God, that are on other people, I rebuke them trying to get off on me in Jesus' name, Father. And the same for Morgan and everybody on here, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, that you have your angels around us everywhere we go. Father, and that, Lord, we're protected by your blood. And God, help me just to continue to be thankful, and let me have a spirit of joy, Father. Lord, thank you for a spirit of joy, and God, that surpasses all understanding. And that, Lord, when I look in the mirror, I don't see myself, but I see you, and that we're being transformed into your image, God. And Lord, I can only do it through the word. And I ask, Father, that you bless me when I read, to read with understanding. And as David talks about, to not read the word like a pig or like a hog, but or try to rush through it. But Father, that when I read, I'm thankful, and that I'm thankful for your understanding and what you've given me. And just thank you for all things, Father. And thank you for this ministry. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to pray for Geneva too, and for her cat. I had a cat that got lost. I had a fence, and it went outside the fence. And I prayed, this was years ago, but I prayed that the angels would bring that cat back. And 2 weeks later, the cat was back in the yard. So I don't know where. I called her, and you know, but she came back. But Lord, I just thank you, Father, for Geneva's prayer. I know that you will grant her all that she has asked you. I thank you, Father, for you supplying her needs, and that that you help her to be strong in you, even stronger in you than she was before, and be able to go on and follow your will and your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Cat, you get yourself back home right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I can't find that.
Well, look for it. She can leave her bowl out because she's going to be hungry. Leave her some bologna out. That's a good dish.
That sounds good. I'll put some eggs out there too. Bacon.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Praise report or prayer request or anything else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
I just want to add, and thank you for saying that, Michael. Just an account. This is probably, I have a friend who a couple of years back, cat went missing for 4 weeks. So that tells the end of the story, but this cat was missing. And in my head, I think, well, that cat's gone, you know, because cat being cats. But, and I'm not a big cat person, sorry, cat people. But this cat was, you know, look, it was the girl's lady's name is Stephanie. And it was, you know, her cat brought a pleasure. And I was praying one time with someone else, and this came up, and I just said, whatever the cat's name was, get back, just like you did, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the Lord told me to call her and tell her to put some food out, just like you said. And my brain went, nah, I'll look like a fool tomorrow, you know. Guess what happened? This thing the just came back. It was just like the command went out, cat came back. So I'm just going to agree with that. And this too, Lord, that that's the spirit of wandering, whatever that may be, gets off it, and the cat stays and revels in its appointment of just bringing pleasure and joy to Geneva and her family.
Amen.
What'd you say that cat's name was? Geneva Sylvester?
No, it's almost. It's a Kiki.
Kiki?
Yes.
You said Kiki and not Kinky, didn't you?
No. No, it's Kiki.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Kiki, you come on back, honey. All right. Well, look for it because she's coming back. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that Kiki's on the way home now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey. I was just thinking, I was just going to say a story to Geneva. Not a story, but this happened. She probably, I know she knows about it, but it's a testimony, so everybody can hear it. But, one, it's funny because when we go back to Texas, our two cats have been missing. We've been
3 months now.
Well, it hadn't been 3 months. Anyways, for a few weeks, but we've been believing they're coming back too. So we'll just accept them prayers for ourselves as well as and believe Geneva. But the testimony I was going to say, this jog Geneva's memory and bless everybody else. My mom had a dog named Cotton, and this is years ago. Yeah, I don't even know if I was born, but she had a dog named Cotton, and she lost that dog. I don't know how she lost it, but the dog just got out and was lost. And she prayed and believed, you know, for that dog to come back. And, you know, the Lord's always had a lot of grace in my mom, just so much. It's really amazing, really. And well, it was a year later, and she was going, I think, I'm trying to remember best of my ability, but she was going to meet my dad at one of his job sites. What's so funny?
The great UVM cat roundup.
Anyways, so basically, it was a year later, she's going to pick up my dad, and she felt the Lord speak to her and tell her to go to the dog pound. And this was a year later. And so she went to the dog pound, and she was looking through the dogs, and she seen one that looked like Cotton, but the dog was mean. It was growling at her, and she goes, well, that's not Cotton. It's Cotton's a sweet dog. So she went to walk out, and the lady spoke to that that woman that was working there and said, now, are you sure this ain't your dog? And the Holy Spirit told my mom, go back and check. So my mom turned around and went, and she remembered, it was put on her heart that Cotton Ruth, because that was her name, Cotton Ruth, had a birthmark on her paw. Well, they got that dog to come out or calm down, got her paw turned over, and there was that birthmark. And matter of fact, so much so, this is a year later, so much so that she did the exact same thing that she did when she needed to use the bathroom. She'd get by a door, start doing one of these numbers. And when she brought her home, she started doing that. And that was my mom's dog. And the second time she got lost, we ain't very good with animals, but a second time she got lost. See,
amen.
So my mom lived across town, and I guess the dog got it again. And, you know, mom was worried about her, didn't want to go another year, whatever, you know. And so she was gone pretty much the whole night, and she prayed. My mom prayed, and she got a call. My mom got a call from her dad. And her dad said, I heard clawing at the door. He said, I went up to the door, check it out, and there was your dog. All the way across town, it went to her dad's house and clawed on the door. And that was Cotton Ruth again. So, you know, it's a testimony for everybody. It's something that uplifts my faith. And Geneva, if you haven't thought about it, think on those things. But I tell you, man, just awesome stuff here. Anyways, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. I've probably told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. I had a great friend of mine, Buddy Oliver, ran over his little old bitty dog. I mean, just flattened him out. And he got inside. He knew he'd done it. And he got inside the house and he was crying out to the Lord, "Lord, why did you take my dog?" And of course, Buddy's the one that run over the dog, you know, but God. But anyway, God had mercy on him. And the next morning, that dog was waiting at the door on him. Nothing wrong with him. He said that dog was flat as a pancake. And God brought him back to life for Buddy because he was so heartbroken over running over his dog. God likes people. Now, I didn't say nothing about Cass. I'm kind of like Andrew there, or whoever it was, a cat. But I like good cats. But thank you, Father, for bringing back our pets and making them good companions for us. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Who's next? Yep. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He lived with him for another few years. I do know that. All right. What y'all want to talk? What are we supposed to talk about tonight, David? Cats and dogs.
Yeah, raining next.
Yeah. Hey, anybody ever had a monkey for a pet? Oh, no, me neither. I don't want one either. I know people who did, though. They wish they hadn't after they did. All right. What's the topic tonight? Has anybody got a good topic tonight? I'm ignoring you, Pat. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead, brother.
Whoa. Did you hear that?
Uh-uh.
No.
What was it?
Sound like a gunshot.
Outside
my window. Well, I'm not going to worry about it.
Amen.
No, I just wanted to relate something that came to me today. And I don't know if it could be a topic maybe later on. But when I woke up this morning, the thought was frequency. God's word is frequency. And I don't, and I maybe shouldn't even have mentioned it, I don't know, but the thought is like the light is frequency. It's a transmission of frequency. So this may be a little bit scattered, but the thought that came to me is that when, like a tuning fork, when we, when a vibration gets close to a tuning fork that is built to say the key of C. And a vibration gets close to that, as it gets closer to the frequency of C, that tuning fork starts to vibrate. I mean, that's how they tune piano, the old way of tuning pianos. And the thought came to me that God's word, his truth, is at a certain frequency or varying different frequencies. And when we are ready to hear that truth, we know it because we can sense the harmonization or the tuning fork within our heart to start to vibrate in resonance with that truth. And that's a really vague kind of description. And the reason I started to realize that, or a thought on that, on those terms, was I was talking to my friend, the security guard at work, and I asked him a question about, because he's still struggling over this colitis. And so I asked him a question that, what does he believe about the scripture, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed? And he gave me a real, a pat answer. I shouldn't say pat answer. He gave me a kind of a standard, vague, I don't believe, you know, I mean, he wanted to say that he believed it, but I could tell by listening to what he was saying, is that he really didn't understand or didn't believe, or he didn't have the ability to believe it, because he didn't, I don't know that he'd ever considered it. Or that way. But the thought came to me at that time is that it's not vibrating in there. It's not, he's not locking into it. It's not reverberating in his thinking process that is actually truth that you can depend upon and receive the benefits for believing it. And so, and contrary wise, I was talking to another guy there at work and was talking about something else, not related to the Lord, but it was related to another subject. I think it was on vaccines or something like that. And this person was totally absorbed, totally open, totally receiving what I was saying. And it was like he had already been primed or tuned up or whatever, however you say it, to receive that truth. And it was like, so I just had, I guess those experiences of yesterday and the day before, it just kind of clicked when I woke up this morning that God's word is truth, and it is in a frequency. Now I go back to that on the website, there's a description of God's word being light, and light, and everything, I think it was a quantum physics or something like that, which I don't even know how to spell, let alone describe what it is, but I think it was on the website, on UBM website, somewhere there, and it describes the I think this physicist or whatever describing or explaining that everything, all matter, is made up of light, and light is made up is frequency is so I don't know, I guess I'm kind of rambling on, but it just kind of hit me today that if people are not primed to receive truth, it bounces off of them. It doesn't lock into them. They're not able to harmonize and receive it. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I would just throw it out anyway.
Okay, human explained. quantitative physics.
I'm ready.
I don't know. I'm just kidding, man. I don't have a clue either. But anyway, that's what they're going to. It looks like. All right. Well, I still didn't get the question, but that's all okay. Okay. I'm kind of slowed in that. I tell you about faith. That's mostly what I was thinking and you were talking about, is people having a trouble understanding the scriptures just because, first of all, they don't get in it. Second of all, they don't understand faith and what it is. Most of the church world don't understand what it is. And that's why you got people out there that go to these churches that don't even believe that the Holy Spirit is available to them. And that call will call. Some of them will just call you heretics for believing. You know, but that's why God is fixing, you know, understand I said fixing, to do a shaking in this world. But two deals here. One is this pandemic is fixing this. It's already started. And also ground shaking, the earthquakes is fixing to happen. I already started in lots of places in the world. I don't know if y'all ever keep up with the volcano eruptions and earthquakes that are happening, but they're up in the sevens now all over the world. And it's not something that's toning down a bit. But anyway, we're fixed to see some mighty powerful things that happen. And the reason God's doing it is to shake these people out of these apostate religions that don't believe God. They're religions. That's all they are. It's just religions. They're not Christianity. The true sense of the word Christianity. Christian means to be Christ-like. And Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. And if everybody in here, I'm sure, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we pray in the Spirit much. And when you pray in the Spirit much, you'll be led by the Spirit. If you have faith to believe, and God will do it. And I'll tell you something, I probably said this before, but I believe God is weaning us off of a lot of things that we've been doing, that he gave us a lot of grace to utilize in the past, but now he's wanting us to be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit that's in us is what? The Spirit of God, right? And so that's why he wants us to grow up in him by being led by the Spirit. Okay, anybody else? Man, we're going to get to go home early tonight, aren't we? Come on, y'all. I thought we was going to talk about self tonight. Wasn't that one of them? All right, Geneva, you can talk about yourself. Go ahead, girl.
Oh, my favorite color is blue. No. I'm not that interesting, but Jesus in me is. So there we go. But no, that's actually a really good one. I always love hearing about better ways to crucify self. And I definitely think that that's something where, like you said, Michael, what we're all dealing with right now is kind of letting go of, you know, God showing us things that we need to let go of and things that we don't need. And his Lord's given me a lot of good dreams, but what I wanted to say was, I forgot to say I had another praise, and this was something that we prayed for quite a few weeks ago about my brother Nathan. The other, I'd been praying with them for them because they've been trying to sell their house so they can move to North Carolina. And just because I know I told you guys that he was kind of, he was being, I guess he was acting depressed kind of, or whatever was going on there. And anyways, we prayed against that. Well, he called me the other morning, like it was at like 7 a.m. and I picked up and he was just like, Geneva, he's like, man, he's like, and like the first thing he said, and I haven't heard Nathan on his own talk about God, like to me in a very long time. And he goes, I just want to say, he's like, God is really good. And I was like, oh, I was like, yeah, he is. I was like, what happened, Nathan? He was just like, well, he was like, you know, we've been having so many troubles with our house and this and that. And he was like, long story short, they end up having like a bidding war and people were bidding back and forth and they end up getting, you know, a lot more than what they thought they were going to get. And he said it was really helpful because they needed to pay back, his wife's family for things that, you know, like they'd helped out with the house and stuff, because at the time they, I guess they didn't have as much money. And so anyways, he was saying, he's like, you know, we get to do that, plus we get to have money in our pocket to go to North Carolina. He's like, and he's like, you know, God, he legit, like he said, he's like, you know, God's been good. He's like, and I was thinking about in the scripture, you know, kind of about how he talks about what do you say, he's talking about how basically he was just saying like how you need to be thankful in all things, and you know, when you're thankful for little, God will bless you with more. And anyways, it was just really encouraging to hear Nathan, you know, talk about that again. And anyways, I just wanted to tell you guys that, because, you know, we all prayed for that and the Lord, you know, I know God's going to bring him in. Anyways, I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew that. So that's it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for working in Nathan's life. Lord, we can already see the fruit. We praise you for it, Father, because we know you're going to bring him all the way in. You're going to be a mighty man of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And bring his whole family in with him. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, is this an older brother?
Yeah, this is me and Isaac's older brother.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that Nathan boy in Jesus' name. He's coming. All right, Vanita.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you guys that my husband had a surgery yesterday and everything went really well with that. So he's recovering from that. But on the way down there, we did, we had about an hour drive and I just prayed that the Lord would give me an opportunity, and he did. And I plugged in my podcast and we listened to David talk about trust God's power and how God is there in our weakness, and we need to be weak so he can be strong. And we got through about half an hour of it and he listened to it. So I'm not sure where that's going to play out in his mind yet, because he's got lots of questions. But we had a lot of conversations. And so that was, praise the Lord for giving me the opportunity to not me preach to him, but let David do it a little bit too. So thank Lord for that.
How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. The stimulator is helping. He's just really sore from the surgery right now. So
yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lord, that you have intervened and have fixed Frank. And Lord, I ask and I pray that your angels go to visit him and show him that it was you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. All right.
I just had a question also. I don't know, just as we were talking, he was saying, you know, how do I know that I'm saved for sure? How can you know for sure? And just kind of going through those thoughts in his mind. And, you know, when I was saved, it was just clear. I was, you know, not believing in anything God related. And then I clearly understood the Bible and it was clear, but he was kind of raised in the faith a little bit and just never had that experience of, I don't know. I guess he thinks he did. I think what it is just because it's been so long and he's been in so much pain that he doubts his salvation because of that. And so so that's where the power, you know, trust God's power was really helpful, because it just hopefully was showing him that you have to go through all this. God has to bring you to a point where you can accept his help and you can be weak. So, I just kept coming back to him. It's by faith. You have to believe by faith. And you have to trust God if you are his elect, which you are his elect. You just have to have faith for it. And that's what be an overcomer just by having faith. So I hope that's the right answer. That's all I could.
Yeah.
It's just like,
and the great thing about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
Well, the great thing about faith is God gives it to you too. You ask God for more faith and he'll give it to you. That's an awesome way of putting it, you know. And Lord, we just thank you that Frank is coming in back in a mighty way, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for opening up the word to him. He's going to see some miracles. He's going to see some miracles that's really going to touch him and bring him in as a mighty man of God. I believe it. And all we have to do is just believe it with him.
Huh? I've been praying for that. Like, he just needs to see one little miracle just to bring him back in and catch his heart.
Amen. That miracle Lana was talking about, Maria, that's a miracle.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Anybody else? I got a question. And that question is this: what's the greatest miracle you've ever seen God do? Anybody ever had seen God do a miracle? I got a bunch of them, but I'm going to let y'all do it tonight. And I'm not anybody. I didn't do none of them. It was all God. Yeah, David, go ahead, brother.
I'll start this one off.
All right.
I actually have a lot of miracles. Well, the biggest one is that I'm still alive today. When I was born, I was way too skinny as a child, and doctors thought I wouldn't make it. They literally told my parents that, I don't think this guy will make it. He's too small. He's not eating. But by God's grace, I'm here where I am today.
I must say, you are a great overcomer. You are a great overcomer. Praise God. Go ahead.
Praise God. And another one was when I used to do hot shot box trucking, and I was running on my 39th hour of no sleep. And in Texas, roads are pretty fast. Speed limits are 80, and I was driving 80, and there was a farmer that was pulling one of the front attachments of a combine that pulled out on the highway, and they only drive like 30 miles an hour, and they have hazards flashing, so you know that they're there. But I slightly dozed off, and I wish I had pictures to show you of the box truck. There was nothing much left of it. I ended up just running into it. I couldn't even open the driver door. I mean, I got a concussion, but I was able to walk out that box truck with no scratches, just a slight headache. And I just praise God. That was a big miracle. God's angel definitely stepped in, and even the airbags didn't go off in that truck. And praise God in that. I mean, I could stay here all night and tell you a ton of miracles that God did, but I'll let other people go.
Okay. That's pretty good ones right there. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah. speaking of miracles, I was wanting to boast on the Lord. You know, I've been meaning to because he's been doing a lot of things in our lives. And so I tell you one that there's been quite a few of them that's always given me great faith. You know, when I used to live in Pikeville, Kentucky, and that was eastern side of Kentucky, about 30 minutes from Virginia and 30 minutes from West Virginia. And there was a homeless fella named, everybody called him Crazy Kenny, okay, because I felt bad for the guy. But he had one leg and he hobbled around everywhere in crutches, and he was a Vietnam veteran, but he'd go in, like, in a corner and just talk to himself. Now mind you, this is deep out in the mountains in Pikeville, Kentucky. Well, I went and talked to him one day and actually, you know, had a conversation with him. You know, it was a good conversation. Well, it was a year and a half, you know, or two or something like that went by. I moved to Columbus, Ohio. So I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm a valet parker for this company called Parking Solutions. Anyways, so I'm in downtown by the campus because we're doing we're parking for like an art exhibit, and this is downtown, and it's game night, so that the streets are crowded. Anyways, I just got a 15-minute break, so I go to Steak and Shake, and I get me a little water, and I walk out. I'm standing outside watching the crowd. The masses are just moving, man. And I see this guy's head out of the crowd. I don't see him. He goes, whoop, head pop out again. He's getting closer to me. I said, what is that? And it's whoop. A guy popped his head out of the crowd again because he's crouching. And he walks in front of me. And I said, excuse me, sir. And he looked at me, you know, and he was mumbling. I says, your name Kenny, and are you from Pikeville? And he pulled out his ID, and it's Kenny, and he was from Pikeville. Now, this is Columbus, Ohio. This is like the second biggest city in Ohio, and with the suburbs biggest in Ohio. Anyways, I'm pretty sure I could be wrong about that fact, but don't fact check me. Anyways, so long story short, I said, man, this was meant to happen. Can I pray with you, sir? We prayed, and his calluses were welted up so far in his palms, he didn't have to hold his fingers on his crutches. He could literally hold his calluses would hold him on his crutches. Anyways, we prayed and he gave his life to the Lord that day. And that was pretty amazing. And I tell you, I want to say this one too. I won't make it long, but it's just an amazing miracle, really. But this miracle happened to me, I used to get in a whole bunch of trouble. You know, I got, and one night, this was when I was 17, about to turn 18. I got in a bunch of trouble, and I got 10 felonies in one night. Now that's a lot. You know, you think, whoa, how did he do that? You know, go big or go home. Anyways, so I got 10 felonies in one night because, man, I got off on some drugs and stuff, and I got 2 grand theft autos, 7 third degree burglaries, and another one I can't even remember. They just all pile up. Anyways, so I go to jail, and you know, I'm thinking I'm going to be in jail for a long time. And I'm literally not even a few weeks from being 18. So, you know, I'm praying that the Lord get me out and at least get me out of this detention center, you know, before they move me on to jail with the adults. Anyways, I do get on put on house arrest, but I'm hearing a lot of bad news. And the funny thing is my family member, she's like a second cousin. She was a court designated worker for me. And she just flat out told me, she said, Isaac, you know, I'm sorry. I've tried working police, you know, they're not for you in this case. And he said, I'm just gonna let you know, you are going to be tried as an adult. And I thought, man, come on. I'm just a few weeks away. Give a guy a break here. And you know, the Lord has always had grace on me. And I remember just saying to my mom, I said, Mom, I don't want anybody that's not going to believe me to be my court designated worker, whether it's my family or member or not. Let's just get somebody else. So we go to somebody else I ain't never met before, and we work with him because I don't want it around me. And, you know, and I think the Lord's showing me that too. And so I sat there, you know, week after week, the court date would get postponed. And nothing's changing. It's all pretty bad. It's looking like I'm going to be doing some jail time. Because, I mean, these people are pressing charges against me. You know, I went all the way throughout Maceo, going in people's homes because it's country town. Nobody locks their doors. And that's not like me. I've never done that in my life. But, you know, drugs turn you around. Anyways, so long story short, they postponed this court date. So, you know, for so many weeks, and we finally get to the main court date. This date's not going to be changed. This is it. This is what's going to happen. I'm looking at my fate, and I haven't heard any good news. But man, I was just putting my trust in the Lord with the little bit of, you know, with the little bit I knew about the Lord at the time. I was just putting my trust in Him, and you know, and I was praying and believing Him to get me out of trouble. And I hate to do that, but I was going to Him in my time of need. You know, thank God that He's got me on a different path now. I'm very thankful for that. But you know, my need now is to manifest Christ. But anyways, so the it was Monday was going to be the official date where they're going to sentence me, right? And the day before, which is Sunday, you know, I was going to this church. I went to this church where the pastor was sick. He couldn't preach that day. The guy that came in there was cop of the year of Davis County, and he was a pastor. Well, I never knew him. I don't know. Anyways, he would give a sermon. He says, anybody want to come up and pray? And I ran down there. I said, yeah, I want to pray. And I told him my situation. And he said, man, I feel led by the Lord. He said, I know all them cops. He said, I know them all. He said, I just got nominated cop of the year. And he said, I'm going to run down there and talk to him in the morning. I'm going to tell you what, that morning, I went up thinking, you know, believe it or not, I wasn't thinking whether I was going to jail or not. I don't know that I had the faith that I needed back then, but I was innocent at least. And I just wasn't going to think about anything. I was just going to live in the moment. Anyways, so I went there that morning, and the judge went through everything, and he said, I just want to let you know, we come up with some terms and agreements. We're going to drop everything down to misdemeanors, no jail time, no community service, just restoration. That's all you got to pay, and we're going to let you go, but you got 1 year of probation. So all those 10 felonies got dropped off my record. I didn't have to go, no jail time, no nothing. And that's how the Lord worked it out for me. It's just cop of the year, pastor is sick at the church. Here we are. And, you know, it's just an amazing blessing. And that's something that's it's also given me faith. But anyways, I just want to share that.
Amen. That's an awesome testimony. Thank you, Isaac. Glory be to God. Ooh, God works in so many gracious ways. He is so gracious to us. My goodness. Okay, Dominique, go ahead, brother.
Hey, I got a customer. Do you want to skip me and then I can go next?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next? Yeah, June, go ahead.
Okay.
Good.
My miracle was very humbling. At the time, my parents were living in Florida, as well as my sister, and my husband and I live in North Carolina. And as my parents got elderly and needed to be looked after, my sister said she wasn't able to do such. And I had told her that was not an issue on our side because Ray and I always figured at some point we'd have them move in with us, which they did. And I always thank the Lord that we had the opportunity to be there for them in the way they were. But what happened got very complicated because my mother grew up as a Catholic and never really grew up as far as growing in the Lord. And I, on the other hand, you know, being in the Word, I was just like a sponge, somebody told me, just taking hold of it. And when my parents were living here, my mother really would come against things I said, and it was very obvious they were spiritual attacks. And I saw my mother in a way I had never seen her before, because she was my best friend as I was growing up as a child and a teenager, and even as a young mother when I lived in New York, where we all have lived at some point. Anyway, it became a very taxing spiritual battle. And then not only was I dealing with that, which was for the most part the worst, well, I can't even say that, but my sister, she's 3 years younger than I and not married. And although she wanted my parents to live with us, at the same time, it upset her. It was, I guess you'd call it a jealousy or whatever, but I can't say for sure exactly what she was dealing with, but she was also, I was getting spiritual attacks from her, and it was really very hard for me to cope with, to the point that I got physically ill, where all of a sudden I wasn't able to stretch my arm, lift my arm up. It was first one arm, then it was my other. I could only go like halfway, and then I'd have excruciating pain. And then it got worse from that. It went into my legs, where I could only bend down to a point. I couldn't even use the bathroom. I couldn't even get myself to sit fully down. And I just felt like my whole body was caving in. And I just sensed it was because I had gotten to a point where I wasn't having a forgiving heart. And the bottom line is, my husband took me to an orthopedic, and I was told that I had a torn rotator cuff. And, you know, if I could bear the pain just to live with it, and if not, I could have surgery. And I thought to myself, gee, maybe that's what I want. And that's kind of funny, because I really rather have myself supernaturally healed. But I thought it over and I figured, you know, I need to be able to take care of my parents. So that's not going to work out too well. And the doctor said, well, you know, it is possible. It's unusual, but your body can heal itself. Well, sure enough, that's what happened. Literally, it was miraculous, because both arms were working perfectly in a short period of time. And I regained my leg strength, where I was able to bend all the way down. And I know I was afflicted because the Lord was chastening me. There's no question about it. So it was hard to go through, but it was a really, really good lesson. And He just healed me completely. And so that's my praise report.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. That was one of the first things I got healed of, was a rotating cuff problem. Yeah. All right. That's a good testimony. Go ahead, Theo. I guess that's who that is. Or
yes.
Okay.
Yep. So go ahead, brother. Testimony is about Lana, and it's a huge story. It'd take me forever to explain all of the ways the Lord led us. And so I'd say the whole time it was always rely upon the Lord. And one quick thing, when Lana and I had just met, she friend zoned me, and I was like, whoa, Lord, I just spent all my money on a ring, and she friend zoned me, and she has no idea. And I've had the ring for a month by now, you know? And I say, you know what, Lord, if she's mine, you're going to change her heart. And, you know, a week later it changed, and I was invited to come back up to Minnesota again. Anyway, so the whole time I'm leaning upon the Lord and just letting him drive. There is just so much to cover. But like one thing, after I proposed December 4th and 2015, the work dried up totally. And after all my whining and dining her, the work dried up and we were broke. And the wedding's coming up here in May. And I'm like, Lord, we got no money. What am I thinking? This is downtown Minneapolis. This is, it's Richville, you know? And I'm just a country boy out here with no money. Well, January went by, February went by, and still no work. And I was just like, what is going on? You know, I was helping my brother out on his house and just basically bumming it for a while. Well, the work showed up. March, I got a email from, or a text or something from my boss. And he said, hey, do you want to come down to Texas for work? And I was like, sure. So by the time May rolled around, we had paid for the entire wedding, the honeymoon, the everything was just covered. We had money in our pockets after the wedding. I mean, the Lord just, we added it up. It was like 40 some thousand just cash in our pockets, you know, and I just spent, you know, basically 8 weeks working. That's it. I don't know where that money came from. It wasn't illegal. It was all honest work. The Lord just provided. And that's probably the biggest testimony I can brag about on the Lord. But there's so many more. But praise the Lord for that.
Thank you, Lord. Do you still think you got a prize in Lana?
Oh, my.
I'm just asking.
You're just going to have to read my book and tell me yourself.
All right, go ahead. Yes, praise the Lord. Go ahead, Geneva.
Alrighty, so mine is not as romantic, but I think that's what I'm about to say. But anyways, nonetheless, it is a praise. Actually have two, so I'll make them quick. And obviously, the Lord has done so much for me. There's so many things that come to mind. But I'm gonna share these two. So when I was living with Isaac Mariana, I ran a lot of cross country back in those days. On my toe popped up a wart, and I remember being like, what is that? And anyways, I remember being like, oh gosh. And so I told my stepdad, and because it was rubbing against my shoe and it was hurting, and my dad Tony, I told him, I said, Tony, he was like, well, let's go to the doctor and get it, you know, froze off, or go to Walmart and you can do that, you know, get froze off. And I don't know, I felt the Lord lay something on my heart, just believe that it'll be gone. And I remember thinking, well, it does kind of hurt and it is really random, but okay. And so I was like, Lord, it's like, I'm just gonna believe that's gone. And so anyways, I remember I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it, and I felt the Lord tell me, stop looking at it, put your sock on, wear your shoes, don't look at it anymore. And so I was like, okay, I'm not, and this is when I'm in high school. And so I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna look at it. So I go over to my friend's house, and I was talking to her mom's boyfriend about it. And, you know, and I'm not trying to down his faith or anything like that, but you know, he was Baptist. And anyways, I was telling him about it. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna believe for it. And he goes, well, that's silly. He's like, why would you do that? Just go to the doctor. And I was like, well, I was like, because I feel like it's a measure of my faith. And he was like, he's like, you can go to a doctor for that one. It's just a wart, you know? And I remember him saying, God doesn't have time for stuff like that. And I remember being like, man. And then I let it go. And I was like, Lord, like, I'm going to keep believing. Anyways. So a few weeks go by, like probably like 2 or 3 weeks. And, Isaac always tells me about this, but, we were listening to ministry, and all of a sudden we hear David Eales on there talking about, you know, believing and having faith. And I got up to use the bathroom, and I come back, and Isaac's like, Geneva, he's like, you just missed it. And I was like, what? And he was like, David was just talking about having faith, and he said, you can even have faith for a wart and it'll go away. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah. And so the next thing I know, I'm like, all right, Lord, like, I'm, you know, I don't feel led on my heart to look at it yet. And then probably like a week went by, and I was sitting eating breakfast, and I was like, I'm looking at my toe, and I just felt on my heart, and I looked at my foot, and it was completely gone. Like, you couldn't even tell that there was anything. You couldn't even tell that there was anything there. And I remember I started jumping up and down because I was just like, wow, something so small, but how it increased my faith so big. Like, and I told Isaac, and Isaac was super excited about that. So that was always good. And well, that was great. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And I also wanted to say too, my other one was that when I was a little girl, I had a hard time in school. And, you know, we had a lot of family issues. And so, you know, I was moved in and out of different elementary schools, and I had a hard time reading. And I remember there was times like I had a hard time having friends, you know, because I was always all over the place. And I remember like I'd get bullied by some girls and stuff of that sort. And so I remember praying one day. I was swinging on my swing set, and my mom came outside, and she knew I was sad, and she knew that I wanted friends. And she was like, well, Jamie, she's like, why don't we say a prayer that God blesses you with a best friend? And I was like, okay. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, the Lord hears a child's prayer and that childlike faith. And that's honestly some of the strongest faith there is, you know, because they don't question the Father. You know, you believe in what the Father says goes, and just like a child trusts, you know, his mom and dad. And so anyways, I was like, all right, Mom, like, let's believe, and I'm going to thank the Lord for best friend. And so we sat there on the swing and we prayed, and I remember like it was such a pretty day, and I remember seeing the sunset. Well, there was a house across the street and no one had moved there yet. And the next thing I know, it was probably like a month or two went by, two little girls move in, and one was older, her name was Taylor, and then there was the other, Marissa. And I remember like I would go and knock on their door and want to hang out all the time and be like, you want to play two square? Let's play two square. And I was kind of a weird kid, but anyways, I would hang out with Taylor for a little bit. The next thing I know, Marissa kind of started coming over more. And then me and Marissa started jumping on a trampoline together. And the next thing I know, me and Marissa, we started to get like really close, and it was me and her and all of our neighborhood kids. Like, I'm talking like we were in like fifth grade. Well, the Lord heard my prayer, and I hope you're listening, Marissa, but the Lord heard my prayer. And anyways, from then on, me and Marissa, all throughout high school, we did the goofiest things together. We ran for president, vice president. We hung signs all over the school that said potato votes for Marissa and Geneva. We did the goofiest things, but I can say that the Lord knew that, like, God knew, like, everyone knew that we loved the Lord. And you know, we like boys and stuff like that, like, we didn't even pay attention to any of that stuff because we were so in love with Jesus. And anyways, that carried us through. And then I remember we were trying to decide we were going to go to college, and she was going to go to Tampa, and I was going to go to Northern Kentucky University, I was going to go to South Carolina. And I remember I was praying, I was like, well, Marissa, what are we going to do? She was like, well, let's pray the Lord gives us a dream. And so we both had dreams, and I had a dream that we were both going to go to Northern Kentucky University together, and that God was going to use us there. And she was like, all right, let's do it. And so we went all throughout college together, all 4 years. Most people say that you'll end up ripping each other's hair out, but we didn't. anyways, we're pretty much sisters, but, you know, and that's where she met her husband now, Jared. And he's a godsend. And, you know, Morgan went to school with me too. And then, you know, we've been best friends ever since. So like, that was my miracle that day. And, you know, here I am now living in Florida close to her. And anyways, Marissa is, she's cherished, but yes. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for best friends. Amen. All right, Dominique, go ahead, brother. Can you talk now?
Yeah, I can talk. My bad. So I had this one. I knew this one kid, and he was like a Lutheran when he was growing up. And eventually he fell away from his belief system. Like, his parents were Lutheran and everything. And he, you know, he was like, you know, all of his siblings smoked and did drugs and all that. And he always said he wasn't going to be like them. And eventually, you know, like a lot of people, he ended up being like them. And he started smoking when he was around 17. Then 18, he started doing psychedelics, and he became like really in a new age and stuff. And well, one night, I think he was 20 or 19, he was coming off of some drugs, and he was really upset. But he remembered something about being a Lutheran, about like praying to Jesus, so he gave it a shot. And then his friend invited him to church, and a month later, he received the Holy Spirit, and he hasn't been the same since, and that guy was me. It was some of the most powerful things. You know, I was probably one of the worst people out there. I was stealing from my mom when she was in really bad situations, you know, and I was stealing from my siblings too, and, you know, my friends, just so I could, you know, get out of my own headspace. And now I'm, you know, walking with the Lord, and that's probably the greatest miracle I've ever seen, was, you know, God finding favor in somebody like that is just insane almost. It just doesn't make sense sometimes when I think about it, because, you know, I was one of the worst people I've ever met, honestly. But I'm not that person anymore, and I could feel that. And, you know, sometimes my family thinks I'm still that person, but that's okay, because I think it'll help them realize that God changes people when they see I don't go back to that. And he even took me back a second time, you know. It was before I was really on the outreach, but I went back to sin for a year, you know what I mean? I still had God in the back of my mind, but I was still rather new, and I just went back to it and was really feeding back into my flesh and, you know, taking that old man off the cross. But then one night there was a really bad storm, and the lightning looked so strange. I thought Christ was coming. I was scared. So I was like, you know, Lord, if you still can hear me, I can you just wait until I'm ready to meet you? And then, you know, I came back and dumped all my drugs out again. And, you know, it was crazy. It was a miracle. One of the craziest things I've ever been through. And, you know, and it's all because of his grace that he was able to do that. It's just shocking to see that difference. And I just hope that it helps other people see what God can do for them too, because there is such a peace, and, you know, you really do become a new creation. But yeah, that was a miracle I saw.
Amen. Thank you, Dominique. Go ahead, David.
It's actually me this time.
Okay.
I don't know how to put this exactly. I grew up in a Christian family, and I never really knew what it meant to walk in the Lord. And that was very hard for me. It was a lot of just like back and forth through my life, like feeling close to God and then just feeling so far and then not understanding, and just this back and forth roller coaster. And then eventually there was just a lot of things that happened in my life that led to a lot of hurt. And then I started seeking comfort in the wrong people, and it led me completely astray, and I completely rebelled and left my whole family, left the Lord, just kind of, anyway, I ran away from everyone. And thankfully, through my brother Theo, the Lord helped bring me back to my family. But when he did, I still didn't really come back to the Lord. Like, I was still just so confused. Like, I was like, I was so glad that I was out of the hole I had dug myself into, but at the same time, I didn't feel saved. I was like, I was still so confused, not knowing what it meant to be in the Lord, to be with God. And so, like, there was still this pull to that sinful life, I guess, and those people. And so I had, for a little bit, continued lying to my family about people I saw and hung out with. And there was one day where I had lied to my family about where I was, and I was driving, and in my head, all I hear is, you're going to get in a car accident. You're going to get in a car accident. And it terrified me, but then like I knew it was going to happen. Like, I was just like, the Lord is telling me this, like, this is going to happen. I'm obviously just not going to him, and he's going to put a stop to this. And it's like, I knew it, but I continued that day, like being with who I was. And then the next morning I was going back to my brother's apartment, and it was like misty outside. Anyways, the roads were wet, and there was a turn I wasn't expecting, and it was super sharp, and I lost control, and I just remember like my car was spinning like in a circle, and then I hit a ditch, and I see my bumper fly, and then I hit something else. The next thing I know, my car is rolling, and I hear myself screaming as it's rolling, and then it just completely stops, and I'm like sitting there, and literally the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Thank you, Lord," because like I knew he was gonna do that, and I was okay, like not like I wasn't injured at all, even like I was completely whole and okay. And he told me he was gonna do this, and I was like, you know, he wants me to be in his kingdom. He wants to save me. And it was just literally, that was the first thing I said was, "Thank you, Lord," as soon as the whole commotion stopped. And so, I mean, that was kind of that moment that like changed things for me, where I really after that started seeking the Lord and his will and what it means to be a Christian and live in him. And I just praise God for that. That's my miracle in my life.
That's the best kind of miracle. Best kind of miracle. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Amen. All right. Who is it, Marietta or Isaac?
Hey, yeah, sorry. I just want to say this too. And probably this is something I think about almost every day. You know, probably the biggest miracle that's probably ever happened to me, you know, is and I'm not kidding, coming into this ministry, this truth, you know, that the Lord showed me, because you can't find it. And you know, I tried, you know, I really did. After I started getting out of trouble and started you know, trying to get right for Lord, I was just going to get myself in more trouble. End up getting into a big, you know, big church, TBN type of church. I mean, big church, 5,000 people on a Sunday. You know, I was destined to be, I guess, to be a Pharisee. Went to a Bible college that I pretty much flunked out of. But you know, it's just miraculous to me how this ministry was given to me by the good Lord. And I really mean that all my heart. I think about it, because you'd have a better chance of finding the world's biggest diamond than coming across this truth of the word, because you can't find it, because it's got to be given to you. Because toward the end of Luke, what Jesus even opened the apostles' minds to the scriptures. And just think about that for a moment. What amazing truth. So I'm just really glad to be able to hear these revelations, be part of it, you know, see that see the manifestation of Jesus Christ in these people. And that's probably the most amazing thing. And I really mean it when I think about it often. It's a blessing to hear these truths.
Amen. It is. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, David.
I'm with you on that, Isaac. This weekend, my parents came, and I took my dad out to Bass Pro, because since it's only like 20 minutes away from us, and on the drive back, he just got onto the whole church topic, and he kept comparing himself to others, saying that I'm an usher at church, I do things at church, I go to church. He's like, but this other person doesn't go to church, just stays at home. Now, and then he asked me the question, tell me who is more holy. I was like, nope, I'm not gonna say a word. I was like, that I'm not answering that one at all. And thing, that's when I text Michael. I was like, hey, pray for me, because my dad's going on about this church thing, and I just want to have the right words and the wisdom to go against is the right way. And God held me silent for a long time. And then there was one time where my dad was like, you have to go to church. You only have to go to church to pretty much praise and pray there and whatnot and to be saved. And I was like, well, when Jesus died on the cross, what was it called? I was like, oh, well, I'm not sure what it's called, but the curtain, what was it torn apart for? I was like, that's so people have access. Anyone has access to God anywhere. And he's like, no. He's like, don't get that wrong. He's like, he was telling me that it was a symbol of salvation. I was like, and then again, God just closed my lips again. And I was like, okay, like, that's it. And then as soon as we got home, I got a text from Michael saying that I had the victory and God gave me the wisdom and it's done. And after that, the conversation never came up again. It was over with at that moment. And all of a sudden, I was like, man, thank God I've been brought out of that, because how wrong it is. I never saw it with my own eyes, but that like opened it wide open. And I just thank God that he pulled me and my family out of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us in this group here have done the same thing, through some of the same thing. Amen. Your hand up, Julie. I can't tell because that light's right in the way. Okay. All right. Anybody else have any miracles?
How long you got?
I got plenty of time, brother. You go right ahead. How's it going, Phil?
Awesome.
You gonna tell us about it?
Oh no, I have so many that I'm just saying there's too many. I think Judy or Sue.
All right, go ahead, Judy or Sue.
Well, it's me, Sue. if it wasn't for the miracle of the Lord using my grandma to lay hands on me, I probably wouldn't be here today. When I was a baby, I had a blockage. I think I was only 4 months old, had a blockage, and they were going to do surgery on me. Now, this, we're talking about, this was 1949. So that's a long time ago. And they never did surgeries on babies. And this was going to be on my intestinal tract. But thank the Lord, my grandmother intervened and she told my mom, because they said I couldn't breathe. I was starting to get blue in the face and everything. And when they were getting the surgical room ready for me, and because I couldn't, started to get to where I couldn't breathe, then my grandma said to my mom, put your hand on her belly. And she put her hand, my grandma put her hand on my belly too. My grandma would always tell me this, that I was special, and I needed that, you know, because my mom and dad only wanted three kids and I was number four. But anyway, they lay hands on me and prayed. And shortly after that, I was able to breathe. And the doctors came in. So we got the OR ready. And I said, we don't think she needs surgery. And, So, you know, she said she was so blessed because she got to be a part of that. And another thing that I felt, like this was before I was even living for the Lord. I ended up going through a blizzard from Ohio, all of Ohio, a blizzard driving from Pennsylvania, northern part of Pennsylvania, all the way to Illinois. But the blizzard was in all of Ohio. And I did not stop except for getting coffee and gas. So that was a long time. I don't know if it was 24 hours or whatever, but it was a long time. And I kept saying, God help me, God help me. That's all I knew to speak about back then. But he got me through that blizzard. And there were cars. I mean, you couldn't see the road very well at all, even though it was a two-lane going one way. I couldn't tell. All I did was follow the tracks of the car that I couldn't see, but I could see some tracks, you know, so I followed that. But I said, Lord, help me. God, help me. Help me. Help me get there. But he got me there without any problems. I'd see cars off the side of the road that got in the ditch because they slid. Because there was not only, you know, the snow was coming down, but it was on the road. And I was driving slow enough, but the Lord, he protected me. I know he did. And the biggest miracle, more recent, would be that the Lord brought me down here. Because if it wasn't him prompting my heart to come down here, I'd still be up where my grandchildren are, because I was watching them and being mama to them. Because my daughter was having troubles, and thank the Lord we're praying for her, and she did lose her daughter, but to relatives. So, for a time, I believe for a time, and if it wasn't the Lord prompting me and showing me that this is what I needed to go through and come down here, I would still be up there, still being mama to the grandkids. But thank the Lord. My daughter's getting delivered. She's gaining the Lord. My grandsons are gaining the Lord, and Victoria's too. So I'm thankful that the Lord, because I probably wouldn't be able to help them if I wasn't down here. It'd be too hard for me to handle, because there was a lot of demons that were involved. And even Bernie, my daughter's husband, is getting the Lord, starting to recognize, I should say, which I'd like to pray about. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Bernie, even though he may not know that you're working on his heart. He's in the hospital right now, and he does not want to take any COVID shot, which is a blessing that he doesn't want to do that. But Lord, I know that he had a rough life when he was a child, and I know you want to deliver him from all those demons that has been bothering him all these years. And I just thank you, Father, for taking care of him, and that whenever his time is to come, that he'd be ready to receive you. Even before that, that he would receive you and get delivered from all those demons, and that he would be ready to go home to you when it's time, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in my daughter, that she's getting some help from a charismatic church that believes in healing and believes in dealing with demons, and thank you, Father, that it's drawing Willie to help her too, and I believe it's drawing Christian to do what's right, and that they'll be brought more into you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I thank you, Lord, for I thank you for this ministry. Lord, I thank you for this ministry. It's been a blessing for me, and it's been a help for me, so that I can be able to handle through the Lord, be able to handle all these situations that are going on with my family. And so I just thank the Lord for that, because like I said, I don't know where I'd be. Probably in an insane asylum. No. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right, Benita, go ahead.
Yeah, yes, the miracle that I want to talk about in my life is my husband, Frank. And it's really his testimony, which I will let him share when he gets on here with us someday. But he has brought him through some things that I think he just forgets about. And when he questions his faith, and he knows they're miracles that he was able to come out of those things. They're just truly of the Lord, and he knows that. And he's going to deliver him of another one soon. So I just praise the Lord for that, and that he would be able to share those with you soon one day.
Amen. And I'm still praying for Frank. Go ahead, one of you Galchenkos. Must be Theo.
Yes. I just want to thank the Lord for the biggest victory, and that's defeating myself. It's getting much harder and harder to just stay focused. You know, it seems like the more and more closer I get, the harder and harder the attacks come. And even this morning, I was just under so much torment that I was actually saying it out loud. I didn't even realize it. It's just been a real struggle, you know. And I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord that he's chastening me. He's leading me down this path, and that I will have the victory through Jesus. And that I'm just proclaiming by faith that I will defeat self. I will crucify self. And the Lord will get all the glory. And I thank you for that. And there will be victory. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, me too. I pray the same thing. I believe we all do. Thank you, Lord, for these trials that we go through to clean us up, Lord. We praise you for it. And Father, we just thank you for all these testimonies tonight. Awesome testimonies of your glory and your grace, Lord. We praise you for it, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you for all these new creations, like the one that Elena's holding right there, in Jesus' name. We just praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us. And Lord, you're putting bold faith in us to believe what your word says because of all the things that you've shown us over the year. And we just thank you for it, Father. And Lord, we ask that you be with us until we meet again. What is tonight? This is what, Tuesday? Yeah, and we thank you, Lord, for being with us and showing us some new things for Thursday night, Lord. We praise you for it. Lord, it's so good when we're led by the Spirit, and that's why we ought to be always be doing, is being led by the Spirit, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, we're out of time. God bless y'all.